Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Plumbing the Death Star. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm also Joel.
And today we're asking the important questions like, what would happen if you got 2006's Stranger Than Fiction?
So one day we wake up,
yeah.
Someone narrates our life, and they utter the beautiful words, little did he know that this will start a long-running sequence, a chain of events that will lead to their untimely death. What?
Start my day, and then the sloppy piece of shit slopped out of bed and slopped onto the floor.
Joel M. Dusha slopped out of his bed covers.
Yes. slopped into the bathroom for a sloppy piss. Where he considered maybe having a sloppy toss.
He burped and farted and shit and cum.
Before slumping into the bathroom and having a shower that left him no more clean than when he was slopped out of bed.
Just Emma Thompson's editor reading this.
You've really gone on a sloppy tangent. There's more adjectives out there you can say.
Sometimes you don't actually have to use them. That you can just say what's you sloppy. You really
slop freak, Joel, sloppy boy, douche.
As he slops open the shower door, and slops on his clean-ish underwear.
And little did he know that this would slop off a chain of sloppy events that would end with him slopping off no more.
Today would be the day where he slopped into the grave.
What? Also, fuck you. It's an intense thing to realize, and also after you've been insulted all morning.
He slops down into the kitchen and makes himself an absolute shithouse breakfast, which he slops directly into his throat.
Wishing that once again that if only he'd paid attention in any kind of class so he could cook.
Oh, what the fuck?
I made toast.
You made toast. Toast's not sloppy.
There's nothing wrong with having toast.
Shoving the two dry toast into his open gob hole.
He then picks himself up and slops him over to the kettle where he drinks some sloppy coffee.
Barely chewing, Joel Dusha has convinced himself that the swill that he makes for breakfast is drinkable.
It's just
a coffee.
It's instant coffee. There's nothing wrong with it.
I mean,
fuck
it's
you, Joel Dusha.
Hating his life, he sloppily goes dragging his feet. Dragging his feet like he doesn't want to leave.
Slops into his piece of shit car and drives, in brackets, shittily to work.
You would come in so demure and upset. I've had a really bad morning.
Do you guys think I'm sloppy?
Do you guys think my car's a piece of shit?
Do you think toast is a sloppy breakfast?
What's your opinion as an instant coffee? I know you guys drink like,
you like nice coffee, but
I also drink nice coffee sometimes.
But is instant coffee that bad?
I don't know, dude. Thinking about it now, maybe sloppy's right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I describe instant coffee as sloppy.
I was actually saying, thinking about it now, most things about your whole sort of way are sloppy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to do some thinking, although I'm not in control.
I'm going to do some thinking. confirming that he is living a sloppy lifestyle.
Joel Dusha sloppily tried to rub two synapses together in his dog diarrhea of a brain.
Hopefully trying to conjure up some kind of thought, but all he could consider was his slop-filled existence.
Hey, dude, why are you crying right now? Are you all right?
Tears slopped from his eyes.
Well, an important question that Will Ferrell asks in Stranger Than Fiction. He goes to see
Dustin Hoffman,
and he says, "Hey, Dustin Hoffman, what do I do?" And Dustin Hoffman says, "You got to figure out if you're in a tragedy or a comedy."
Yeah.
Is your life?
Well, I think based on this introduction, it's a tragedy.
But I'm laughing.
Yeah.
It could end like Junkie, sort of, where it's like, and he slopped off the earth and into a grave, and everyone forgot his name, and no one cared about him.
It's kind of like the Confederacy of dancers.
Yeah.
We're having a laugh a minute, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that he's sloppy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
There's no way she could keep describing him as sloppy, right?
Joel Dusha lived a sloppy life, died rather sloppily, and it won't be remembered unless it was to remember who was the most sloppy. Then it would be him. Who
and then the thought of his man? Name was just slopped out of everyone's brain.
Emma, what? I mean, the upside is maybe you beat a world record. The downside is this is the worst book I've ever read.
The idea of showing something to a publisher and they're like, "Well, good news, bad news. Good news, you've broken a world record. Bad news, the worst book I've ever written." Read.
Yeah. Well, how do you reckon you'd respond?
Well, I guess I would. The first thing you've got to do, regardless of what the narration's saying, is, I guess, figure out if it's accurate, and if it is accurate, if it's happening before you're registering the thing that it's describing or after.
Because you got to figure out, as Zammit might say, whether daddy's got to go home because he's lost his mind. Yeah. Is it a situation where it's like, Joel Zammit woke up and you're like, Daddy's got to go home. I'm so...
Entering the studio doors, he sees his good friends and realizes that he's got to once again sit down for an extra hour or two to shit out some sort of reference to pop culture, knowing that he's very tired of talking about Wolverine, but here we are. Hey, boys, Daddy's got to go lie down, actually.
That's so funny. Just out of nowhere, like, you just come stand in this sort of office space,
make
say
a
nothing.
Face.
Daddy's gonna go lie down. We're like, did he just refer to himself as daddy?
That doesn't make sense. I guess he does need to go lie down.
I guess daddy does need to go lie down. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I would be thinking maybe God was talking to me, or
if it is before the events are happening, then I just have to accept that I believe it.
Yeah.
Because like there's no other real like if it's like on his drive to work, he's cut off in traffic, and then like a moment later,
I see what you mean.
I'm like,
okay.
Well, I can't be imagining that because precog also doesn't exist.
There's no point trying to. It's got
to
be some omniscient observer of your life.
Well, it is like it's narrating your existence, and it does reference like certain things
that haven't happened
yet. So it's like, you know, you start the, you know, your day unknowingly about to, you know, start the chain of events that will lead to
your untimely
death.
Because, the death thing is like big.
Yeah.
But also, that's the kind of thing where you're like, well, there's no evidence to suggest that's true.
That's
and
true,
it does
yeah.
give you a bit of introspection as well. So like as you're brushing your teeth, it's like, you know, you know Joel Dusha is brushing his teeth, you know, 48 times or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, Will Ferrell brush his teeth 48 times to the second, then you're like, oh, I guess.
And the thing is, it's if, because, you know, if some people out there, like, might narrate their own life or they have that kind of internal, like, monologue. Like, I have an internal monologue that kind of happens with, you know, what I have. And but this one is not your voice. This is
true. It's Emma Thompson's voice.
It's Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it's Emma Thompson for Will Ferrell. Maybe we have different guys.
Well, see, it's the author, basically, of whoever is writing our sloppy book. Joel Dusha Slophar.
I like to think mine's like, Jackson Bailey woke up still unaware of the flesh-eating virus slowly taking over his body.
Well, if it was Emma, I think it's Karen. Eiffel. So if we are experiencing the 2006 classic Stranger Than Fiction, so it would be
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson.
That's true. Yeah.
And we initially like, well, if we are like, okay, we're hearing this voice, they're describing my life, when they have said that, oh no, like,
some, you're gonna die. Yeah, yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah, yeah.
How, I don't know if I would reach out to a lecturer.
Yeah, I don't think that's what I would
reach out to a hospital.
Yeah. Daddy's got to go home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Daddy's got to go home. Yeah.
Can you just get a quick scan of the old noggin, make sure there's no brain tumors?
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Or catastrophic damage of some variety.
Yeah, I think
potentially a railroad spike that I haven't realized has shot through my
frontal lobe. Just want to double check I've not been in a car crash.
Yeah, just.
And forgotten.
Yeah. I have a somewhat British voice telling me what to do.
Do we remember how
British? I say to the doctor, they say, oh, Daddy's got to go home.
Daddy's diagnosis, Daddy's got to go home. Do we remember how Will Ferrell finds out that Emma Thompson is writing his life?
Yeah, so when he goes to see Dustin Hoffman, he sees something on the TV being played, like an interview with Emma Thompson's character.
Okay.
And they talk about the little did he know bit. And that's when, although we think he just references the voice. He's like, I know that voice. That's the voice.
That's the voice talking. Oh, you're a character in one of these.
And then it's the whole like little did he know aspect, which is like, well, unfortunately you are in a tragedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are going to die.
You're
going to
die. Yeah, that's right. Well, is it happening to all three of us at once? Is this a story about plumbing like, the Death Star?
Like three protagonists?
Yeah.
So what would we get? Like, as Joel Zammit woke up, I'd have a pause.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Douchebag and Joel Dusha, you'd hear a pause. Yeah, and then you'd be like, and Jackson Bailey.
What?
Get up.
Are we all? Jackson Bailey wasn't up yet.
Would we all be here? So, for example, like, so I was like, oh, it'd be just like, as soon as they reference us, like, we'd hear it. But no, because would it be like, if I like wake up out of bed, like on a lazy Sunday morning, Joel Zammit awakens at like, you know, says 6 a.m. whilst
on a lazy Sunday, Joel Zammit wakes up at 6 a.m.
It's meds suck sometimes.
Jackson Bailey,
you know,
wakes up at 11, you know, and Joel Dusha returns home.
Yeah, while Joel Dusha pulls into the driveway after having one of his famous nights out,
quiet night out, couple of drinks,
and Jackson Bailey sound asleep. So,
yeah.
I'm assuming me and Dusha are getting that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's in your dream.
I guess I miss it. I'm sleeping through.
And then when you do wake up
too, finally, Jackson woke up.
Yeah.
Finally.
And then we'd be like, wait, what? I guess Jack's awake. Check messages. He's like, hey, boys. You Emma Thompson yarning?
Is Emma Thompson talking in your brain right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be easier to, I guess,
well, yeah, if it's happening
understand.
To multiple, you're just like, well, something fucked up's happening. I guess God's coming back or
like,
something.
Yeah. The moment that there's like, you know, as you wake up and Joel Dusha is coming home and Jackson lies sweetly in his bed, I'll be like, all right, boys, we need to, okay. You know, Jackson's phone rings. A frantic Joel Zammit on the other line. You don't call me anymore. What's this about? Send me a text.
Yeah, send me a text and I hang up.
The phone rings insistently yet again.
Jackson's wet hands.
Jackson
slops
wet
up
from the shower.
In brackets. He fell asleep in the shower. It was on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, then I guess we would presumably come together.
And be like, what the fuck is going on?
Can we recognize it? You reckon you could recognize Emma Thompson's voice?
Yes.
Do you reckon you could recognize an author's voice?
Yeah.
No.
No. I don't know how any author speaks except Terry Pratchett, who doesn't sound how you expect him to.
And rest in peace.
And rest in peace. Yeah.
If Terry Pratchett's our author, we're in trouble because we're going to have to. Well, yeah, when we die, we'll talk to him.
Yeah, a ghost's right.
Yeah.
That's what that means. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever recognize a single author's voice. Well, although nowadays it's very easy because you simply just go on YouTube and look up like authors, like interview of, but then there's a lot of authors.
There's a lot of people writing books.
Heaps of authors. So where would you even start?
Yeah. It's funny to imagine if we hear this.
Okay, the narrator's mean. Ayn Rand. Also dead.
Yeah.
It's funny if they're
objectivism or whatever they got her in the end.
Am I a Ubermensch? Is that what I am?
Is Nietzsche writing my book?
Is this what's going on?
Well, if we've...
My vampire?
Because they're like, little did they know.
What does E.L. James sound like?
I don't know.
In 50 Shades of Grey?
Boys, we spike at each other?
Are we in 50 Shades of Grey, but as not the people that are fucking? Does that mean that someone in the city's fucking, but yet they're talking about us for a chapter?
Characters?
But then we're going to die.
Yeah, we're about to witness something fucked up.
Is that awesome?
Just to kill us? Oh.
But then why would they be talking to us like they gave us our name, so sure, we're getting spanked, right?
The plumbing boys systematically spanked one another for a full hour to no effect.
Oh!
Now we find out.
As the clock just like clicks over to like, you know, midday.
Yeah.
My hands are sore.
Somebody comes in. What are you doing? We're trying to figure out if we're in 50 Shades of Grey. How will...
And?
So if you spank each other, what will that... How will that show you? Well, they spank each other in 50 Shades of Grey, so...
Right?
Yeah, but... But...
I don't know what you're talking. I don't understand the question.
I actually never read the book. So.
Barely paid attention to the films.
But when it's like, little did they know that they were kicking off a chain of consequences that would lead to their death.
Yeah.
Because we could never find the author, will we just wait and see what happens?
Well, I guess we'd probably have to be in a situation, because in Stranger Than Fiction, Will Ferrell's destiny is to be hit by a boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, to save a
saving
kid.
A little boy's life. So he just fixes it by letting the little boy get hit by the boss. And he's like, phew, better him than me, because I learned how to live my life to the fullest. Well, that was just a stupid kid on a bike.
Yeah. Well, doesn't his watch die?
Yeah, and that's his watch goes like a minute faster or something. Yeah, like, slows down. I mean, faster than he's at the bus stop. Up a little bit earlier so that he can save.
The watch saves his
but
life.
But then she writes it so that the watch goes into his heart and saves his life.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. And he falls in love with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Are we falling in love with... going to be pissed.
Why? It's his sister.
Yeah. Don't fall in love with my sister.
Yeah, fucking don't talk to my sister, bro. Back off. Step off.
How old are you, Jay?
Bro.
Are you in high school?
Yeah.
Bro, don't even fucking think about my sister, bro.
Well, I'm
I'll
gonna.
Bash you.
I'm like, did you not enjoy her appearance in The Secretary where she gets spanked?
I didn't. That's actually fucked up to ask me, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Because I didn't like it, and I refer to myself in third person. Jake Gyllenhaal didn't like that at all, bro.
The only thing I like is the 2002, maybe 2003 film Donnie Darko, in which I star.
Yeah. What about Nightcrawler? That was pretty good. When initially I heard about it, I thought we were doing an X-Men thing, but we weren't doing an X-Men.
Sorry,
thing.
Bro.
Yeah, yeah, bro.
Good film, though. Like, well, we got
fucked. I'm glad you liked it.
Didn't you like the next thing you did with the director, though? That was not good.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah,
the painting or some shit.
Fuck it.
Like a horror thing.
Did you like that movie where I was the
big spider or some shit? Didn't
watch
it. Enemy. Great film. Spider's too big though.
Didn't watch
it. It was fucking scary on the set.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm gonna try and make
it. Nah, that movie where I'm answering in 9/11. What'd you say about Maggie?
Anyway,
so we're in love now.
Dating Maggie Gyllenhaal is tough.
Fraught with problems.
Yeah.
Do we think like in a way
it's a film, you do know this? No.
What? So,
yes.
How does it work, though?
Mm.
So, like,
yeah, great question. How does it work, though?
Is Emma Thompson?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is she
in control of our lives, or is it a coincidence?
Is she in control of our lives?
Yeah.
Or like, how much free will do we have?
Well, we have a level of free will because, like, so Will Ferrell reads the transcript, like the first draft, as it were, where on a bus, he just like sits on the bus and reads it.
That's right. He goes
to her and he's like, "Well, no, you have to finish it like this.
Yeah,
you need to do this." So she's already kind of either written notes or a transcript. It's only when she starts maybe writing it for realsies on a different typewriter
that it starts
becoming like more real, and that's what we're sort of hearing.
While
we go and speak to Emma Thompson,
like
that part isn't necessarily in the transcript or in the
because there are moments where it's not. It's something he's. I'm wondering if I could like sort of misery Emma Thompson and get her to write me a really good life.
I mean, you don't have to. Like
it's kind of like kidnapping God.
Yeah. So with. All right, so
Jackson
she's not.
Had
hang on,
guns
wait,
for
wait,
hands,
hang on.
And dicks for feet.
So, like,
is that your?
That's your life, yeah. So, like in Misery, she kidnaps the author and just like write me a story, right? Whereas in Stranger Than Fiction, Emma Thompson has huge amounts of empathy. The reason that she ends up rewriting so she doesn't kill Will Ferrell is because she doesn't want to kill this man.
But I don't think she's going to write a story where I have guns for hands
and dicks for feet. Where are the balls? Well, are you standing on them?
Because again,
it's a lot. Like you don't
Why
have
didn't
to...
you get it right the other way around?
How am I going to walk on guns?
Come on, think.
Well, yeah, walking on guns
How can you walk on guns?
Walking on a dick and balls is way easier.
Maybe if the guns are, like, I'm like...
Flat?
Yeah, like, the top of the gun is the bottom, and the handle of the gun is joined to my shin bone.
So what? Are we talking about, like, Planet Terror? Where...
No, like, so imagine my shoe is, like, a handgun.
Yeah, but if it's a handgun, just have that... Okay, it's a handgun. Pretend it's the same way you'd see a handgun on a desk.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that could work.
It works better than walking on a dick and balls. Dicks are soft, except for when they're hard.
Yeah.
But because you're standing on them, probably going to remain soft.
Yeah, probably going to remain pretty flat.
Scuffed up if you're walking over gravel.
Got to constantly have them in socks. For decency as well as comfort. Yeah.
Wow, your feet are pretty fucked up. Oh my God. That's the eye of a penis.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, my feet are dicks.
And then I put up my hands like, hey, they're gone.
And then you give me all your money because you're robbing them.
You'd be falling over all the time. Yeah. There's not much support there.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to stand? Okay.
Well, the moment Emma Thompson writes that into reality, she can just flee because like I can chase after her.
That was your dream.
Yeah.
If you fall over, how are you going to stand up?
Yeah. I'll just shoot myself up.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. No further questions.
Good. Okay. Glad to hear.
Well, yeah, unlike in Misery,
yeah.
Where it's not at all what is currently happening.
Well, I was just thinking, like, that's an example where somebody kidnaps someone to get them to write a story.
You could request, perhaps, and maybe speak to Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
You'd be like, how can we, well, look, better my life?
Yeah. I got some pretty big ideas.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's it. I mean, you know, maybe not guns fans and dicks for feet, but like.
So you kidnap her.
Yeah.
So she, okay.
Then.
I'm like, hey.
Well, so you got to get, first off, you got to get past Queen Latifah and Emma Thompson to kidnap Emma Thompson.
Okay.
Right? I just.
I have the shit beat out of me by Queen Latifah.
Physically. You as you are, and also being written by Emma Thompson, if we're like, and Jackson sloppily.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Because if Emma Thompson's writing you.
The moment I come in, she's like, Jackson changed his mind.
Yeah. Well, like, that's a thing as well. Like, you know, he picks up the phone and he calls and it rings. And then her phone rings and then she stops.
Mm.
And then it's like, and then it rings again. And then it rings again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is like some form of. You know,
fell over.
He fell over again.
He could, in fact, he found that he could not stop falling over.
Flopping around the steps of a building.
Yeah.
She's flopping fucking over. Me up, boys. She's fucking me up.
Flopping around.
Once he got to the top of my staircase, I mean, delete the staircase.
he fell all the way back down again.
All the way back down, hitting every stair on the way.
Oh. She's fucking slapsticking me.
Yeah.
You want to have a civil conversation? You want to have a civil conversation now?
No.
I'll Jackson. Just, she'll just keep doing it.
Jackson tries to run up the stairs and slips.
Hitting every stair on the way.
Cracking his two front teeth on the banister.
Jackson did this for the next, let's say, hour.
Just
you want to give up on this, Jackson? I can't for like an hour now.
Emma Thompson just standing at the top of the stairs in a beautiful cardigan.
He was
going to
misery
like...
me. Oh, okay. That's fair enough, then. He's getting pretty bruised and fucked up.
But even if you misery her, you're like, right, my life good. And she's like, okay. Jackson realized the error of his ways and let the author go.
She's like, okay, Jackson fell over. Whoa! Smacking his head on the ottoman on his way down. Don't.
The thought of misering the author never once crossed his mind.
It was as though Jackson had two banana peels permanently on the soles of his shoes. Emma Thompson, I'm sorry. What?
Through tears, Jackson slowly put himself up, and this time he fell over once more.
Emma.
Are you writing a comedy or a tragedy?
What do you think, idiot?
A tragedy. It's about the world's most loathsome man.
Comedy? Is it funny? It
doesn't feel funny.
Well, if you were reading about a man falling over for an hour,
constantly slipping at the whims of an author seeking revenge, that is pretty funny.
Yeah. What's it called if it, like, because you've threatened her.
Yeah.
So, but then she's doing, I guess, protection.
Yeah, it's sort of self-defense.
Self-defense rather than revenge.
Yeah. Okay, well, all right. Well, then, never mind that then.
So your misery plan doesn't quite work.
Yeah, because she's my the god in charge of my world.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Miss the episodes where we'd ask the important questions like, hey, what do you think is going to happen in upcoming film? And the companion episodes where we ask the important questions like, hey, what do you think about that film we just saw? Well, do I have some great news? We went and made a whole show that is just that, Baseless Speculation, where we baselessly speculate in upcoming films, TV shows, games, and more with as little research as possible so you don't have to. Just search for Baseless Speculation on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and join myself and these two knuckle fucks as we celebrate the death of cinema the only way we know how, by making wild claims film studios would be too afraid or too stupid to do, and then get shocked when we're right. Once again, that's Baseless Speculation, available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you dickheads get a podcast from.
That's my immediate thought upon discovering that there's an omniscient person.
So your idea doesn't work. I've got an idea, though.
Okay.
So Emma Thompson's whole thing and the reason she doesn't change the ending is because she hasn't had a hit book in ages.
Oh, okay.
No, she's kind of just hasn't released anything in ages. She released like some really good books.
Yeah.
And they all sort of tend to end the same, that the protagonist dies at the end.
But she's in a bit of a creative slump.
But she's a bit of a creative slump. Yeah. And she hasn't released anything for like, I want to say almost a decade, if not more. And it's Dustin Hoffman's like, she's like one of the, you know, greatest authors of our generation or something along those lines, where she's like makes incredible, incredible books, but she hasn't written anything for a long time because she has writer's block.
Yeah.
And now that she's writing about the death of us due to a watch, then she's sort of like slowly understanding what she's, you know, how getting the creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't quite know how to kill us yet.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem.
That's our saving grace, though.
Is it possible to live such a boring life for a couple of days that she stops writing the book about you?
Oh, okay, well, so you're like, you become a massively uninteresting protagonist.
Yeah. That's kind of what Will Ferrell tries to do, where he tries to, like, nothing will happen. He's not going to leave the room. He's not going to do anything like that.
Well,
and then a wrecking ball comes and just slams through his whole, like, front of the house.
But is that because he was, because that's apartment. Being inert and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dusha just needs to do...
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something fucked and unexpected will happen.
If you don't instigate drama will come to you. Are currently in a novel.
Yeah.
What if I become too interesting to kill? Go the opposite way.
Oh, okay.
I mean, potentially,
start
what if you're
solving
like,
a mystery?
Yeah.
Become the new Harry Potter.
What if you become.
You don't kill Harry Potter in book one.
Yeah, what if you become like a franchise?
Yeah. You got to keep setting up, you got to keep laying threads to pick up later.
Wow, I can't wait to do this next year.
It's like you book a trip for something and you're like, and set the date for next year. Oh, no, wait, that could be.
No, because then it's like, oh, it's so tragic.
Yeah.
He had so much planned and he didn't get to do it because he died.
Was
he got hit by the bus.
Yeah, they're fixing his life up or solving some sort of like.
But I reckon if I do enough stuff, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to book this crazy trip for 12 months from now. I want to plot the murder of a close friend for 5 years from now.
Are you plot? I'm glad I killed this maniac. He wanted to kill his friend.
Funnies. Will betray me and the murder will be
Will
just.
Betray you? Will?
How I'm just clearly trying to be like, oh, am I getting away with this? Am I getting away with this? And then 10 years ago to marry the queen. I'm writing a 20 year plan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hoping that makes you interesting enough. Mm-hmm. Imagine opening Harry Potter or whatever and he just writes down the things he wants to do. Yeah.
I'm gonna kill Voldemort.
Joel Dusha, picking up a pen and paper, writes down these fanciful notions of like of his, you know, future dreams. Some of them, like, not even in reality. Puts down his pen and paper, realizing that he has no way of achieving any of these. Gets up and goes and catches the bus.
Sloppily to the bus.
Sloppily gets to his bus to once again go to work, dealing with the 9 to 5 of podcasting.
What about this?
Yeah,
get hit by the bus early.
Yeah, you can't kill someone with a boss if they've just been hit by a boss.
That's terrible. In fiction, it's like, oh,
well, she doesn't know she's going to kill you with a boss. And in fact, you getting hit by a boss might be the thing that she's like, that's a good way to kill him.
All right, then I make sure I have a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Because having a near-death experience and then dying, it's not very creative.
My car?
Yeah, you get your car and just drive it a wall. But in such a way that it doesn't kill you, hopefully.
Nah, you can go around this. Again, if you look at, say, so the Pref Owen Meany, so the whole point there is the kid there has like basically a vision of like these like certain things like of like what's going to happen, and then at the end it's like realizing he's like these visions or his death, it's like how he's gonna die, so you can then use that as part of the literary like to move
you're
the
saying
story
Dusha
along.
He crashes his car. Dusha. Nearly dies.
Yeah. So Joel Dusha is sloppily living. Sloppily living his life. It's just because it's boring existence. He wants to like feel something. So he's trying to do all these like, you know, wild and crazy things. You start riding into the narrative.
Yeah.
And then maybe now, or maybe I'm writing a story of a person who's trying to feel something and he gets too close to that. And then in a moment where he, you know, because of all this, his life means nothing. And so, well, what does that mean? And then, oh, I know how to do it. He's going to try and, you know, he wants to live now, so I'm going to try and ride in.
Now that he survived the near-death experience. You
know, and then I'm just going to be like, okay, and now that he wants to live, while those daredevil lifestyle that he was living is antics. Now going to kind of come antics. Back to him.
Antics. What about this?
Okay,
so no matter what you do, there is a way
Emma
for them
Thompson,
to...
Emma Thompson, her whole thing is that she kills the protagonist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she's
that's her
known,
famous shtick.
Known for.
Become the antagonist. Become a real sack of shit guy.
That's good. Take up, slick back your hair.
Slick back hair, smoke.
Smoke cigarettes. Kick any dog you see.
Oh, yeah.
And child.
Yes.
Yeah, this comes down to that. How much free will do you have?
Yeah.
Well, you got shit's enough. Outside. I take him.
In the spaces between the ration, that's when you do it. It's Joel Dusha sloppily walked to the bus stop, and you, in that brief break, just turn and kick a kid in the chins or whatever.
I'm a piece of shit.
But there are those things where I think Will Ferrell does try to go against what's being said.
But that's different from just acting
I'm
within
the
narrative framework. Yeah.
And then again, it's that kind of goes
I'm just
against
making
that.
The book bad.
But then it just tries to, you know, move it around. It kind of does end up becoming part of the narrative no matter what.
I'm thinking, what about this? Full-on born-again Christian.
Okay.
I go full-on born-again Christian. Yep. That's all I talk about.
Yeah.
It's not a very popular genre of novel.
Romance a dog!
Yeah. Full-on born-again Christian, romance a dog. Emma Thompson stops, sits at a typewriter, stares at what she's written, is like, maybe need to scrap this novel.
Daddy's got to go like that.
Yeah.
And on his way home from church.
Yeah, Jackson stepped out of
walking.
The church doors, stretched his arms and basked in the glory of the afternoon glow.
Of God's light.
A small dog walked past. Jackson got down on his knees and placed his lips to the dog's lips. Their tongues interlocked like two lovers' hands grasping one another in the dark. Yep. And then she just takes her hands away from the keyboard. I take the dog away from my mouth, look up at heaven with a smug smile, I'll do it again.
This is when I think maybe Queen Latifah comes in, reads this, tears it up, and just like, let's have another go at that.
Let's have another. Is that something Emma Thompson can do?
I think so, because this is like, you know, it's a novel, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be stuff that they're being omitted, and like stuff, for example, like Jackson Bailey, you know, trying to find solace in God, and realizing that it is a well that he cannot really draw from.
He's trying to find solace.
So he, you know, driving home, like, you know, he's realizing that there is something missing in his life, maybe a pet. You know, he sees like a stray pooch, you know, he gets down to its eye level, the dog. Licks Jackson's face.
Every single moment of free will I have,
Jackson's,
I'm kissing a dog.
Jackson's face covered in dog spit.
Yeah.
Jackson realizes that this is not the life for him.
Jackson realizes it's not the life for him. I stand up. I get back down on my knees.
For some reason, but for some reason, the dog seemed to love Jackson. Yeah. This then starts Jackson's week-long adventure of getting licked by dog.
The book still, even like riding around it, is so suspicious and strange. It's like, wow, Emma, you've written a lot about this dog licking his mouth.
Yeah,
like, I know that no kissing's happening.
Once again, I get the Queen of Thieves look at this, be like, rip that up. We're gonna omit any. This is bad. Write it better,
Jackson.
Well, what happens if? Yeah. So, what if Emma Thompson writes it and kills us?
Yeah.
And then Queen Latifah tears that up and is like, no.
Well, we're dead. It's because we still, like, look, Jackson still kissed that dog.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's just that, like, Emma Thompson is writing a novel. She's like, I'm not including the bits where this man makes out with
this
dog.
Well, I'm trying to make myself such a loathsome character that she's like, actually.
But that's what you want with the characters. You don't want them to be perfect. You want them to be boring.
Yeah, but you want them to be interestingly loathsome.
Yeah.
A man who is just kissing dogs on the mouth does not make for an interesting character.
Maybe also don't wipe your ass.
Yeah. No ass wiping. No cleaning myself up if I come, and I kiss, and I'm kissing dogs.
So you'll
everywhere.
Be coming heaps,
and I'm coming heaps. So I basically am trying to make it so that Emma Thompson is just like, this is not a character I want in my story anymore.
Yeah. So again, she might start like course
omit
correcting.
He gets sprayed by a hose.
But you are like the main character, and she's still got this whole idea of you falling in love with.
But she's got you two.
Oh, so it's all three of us.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. If it's just me, that's way more difficult.
Yeah.
But if I can make myself, of the three of us, the most loathsome and uninteresting, or not even uninteresting, disgusting.
If it is this kind of thing where it is this idea where it's three of us, and it's going to like lead to the most untimely death of us all.
Yeah.
We're fucked, boys. No matter what we do, if one of us is being loathsome, we can't all be shitting ourselves and come on our own bellies. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Not all of us are going to be like...
You wouldn't come on your own belly to not die.
I mean,
that's crazy.
You wouldn't kiss a dog to not die.
Coming on my own belly. Look, we've all been there. Shitting myself. Not doing it. Making out with dogs. I'm not doing it. There's lines.
You wouldn't... Okay.
I wouldn't make
like,
out with a dog. No, I'm sorry.
No. That one, probably not.
yeah.
But if someone's got a gun and they're like, shit your pants or I'm shooting you...
I'd be too scared.
Well, you'd have to shit because like... Either way, you're shitting yourself because when you die, you're shitting.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, this is not that situation. This is me in my home shitting myself and still sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
That's also true because what if it's wrong and you just wreck your entire life?
Yeah.
What if I've just gone insane?
Yeah.
We'll let Jackson do it because he can bounce back from this, I reckon.
Yeah, I probably can. I can come back. I can be like, sorry about that. I thought I was a character in a novel.
Yeah. So if we're all the, like, it's a multi protagonist story and the thing is, it's like, well, whatever's going to happen, it's the three of us that we're involved with. I don't know how or what, but this is, well, either we just can't be in the same room.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of Zoom episodes, boys.
Is it exciting for all three protagonists of a book to die of a heart attack at exactly the same time?
No.
Not really. What are you imagining? We go on like one of those spinny, what do you call them?
No,
like a gravitron at once, and we just don't let it stop.
No, but they
or
like,
it's like if
we're
it's,
all separate, yeah, but we yeah, all yeah. still die at the we'll, same time.
Well, the thing is, we just don't know what the story is yet. Because it could be about, is it about friendship and the closeness? Is it about like, you know, there's a story about like, you know, like your male bond that was so close together that even though that, you know, they weren't to get the same room, it's like aneurysm, heart attack, sudden cancer. I don't know.
It's
kind of like even like in death, they were together and we're like, Emma, you really misunderstood our relationship.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the cancer's
heart
taking
attack,
over my body.
Heart attack, aneurysm, dog STI.
I didn't know it was deadly. I mean, I guess we can take some solace in that it'll be her worst written book.
Even with some edits.
Yeah, like there's just no way you can tell. I mean, like, it's a bad beginning to pick the three of us as your protagonist.
Well, again, she's using Will Ferrell, who works for the IRS.
And he sucks.
And he did suck. Everything was by the numbers. It was routine. It was everything. Everything. All the time.
At least we're more chaotic.
Yeah, it was like a routine
more loathsome
thing.
More annoying.
What was the last thing we did something to a schedule?
Never. Never. Yeah. Never.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, it's
every
a kind
day's
of
a
like,
mystery.
Every day.
That's so funny that her book then is like three chaotic men died chaotically.
Well, that's the thing.
Three chaotic men died the opposite of chaotic, orderly.
Orderly.
As shot
they
by
should.
The one bullet.
As they should.
Magic bullet theory.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the name
of the book.
Died like JFK. Whoa. That's not a bad... Okay.
What?
We can't beat her.
I'm confused.
But yeah, we can't beat her. We're going to die. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
fair enough.
Like,
I accept it.
I like that Will Ferrell, his way, he's like, he's just a nice man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's finally living his life for the first time since ever. And she's like, this is a nice man. I don't want to kill him. We're like, well, we can't do that.
Well, yeah, I'm a despicable sex goblin.
Her.
Of course. Of course it's not going to be nice.
Can't convince her.
What about
she's
this?
Not writing in a love interest for us. No.
What if
You've
I try...
You've already got a wife. You don't get another love interest because then it makes you a loathsome man.
That's true. What if I die in such a way that her book would be considered poor taste when it was published?
You're gonna try and die like JFK?
Die like JFK or like Princess Diana or something. Where she could just never release it. But I'm dead. And if I'm dead, I'm dead. So I have died. Yes, I've lost to it's a fight I'm having. I've lost
evidently.
Damn it, Thompson.
You're being killed by a magic bullet.
Yeah, but her book.
Okay. What?
No one's reading that.
What if?
Bad reviews.
I think that you're incorrect.
Yeah.
And I think that if there was a fiction novel that was out that was like meant to be like quite clever adult fiction.
Yeah.
And then at the end, one of the protagonists got shot in the head from a grassy knoll.
Yeah.
The other person died in a car crash in a tunnel. And
some other hugely controversial.
Yeah.
Hung as a statue of themselves was toppled? Saddam Hussein's death? I was trying to think of a famous one person dying.
Someone gets shot in the back of their head as they're watching a play.
I got a good third one.
Okay.
Someone's holding a cassette that their wife has just recorded of their new hit single, and they're shot in the belly.
Yeah.
And as they stumble over to a receptionist, they say, "Ooh, excuse me, miss. I think I've been shot in the goods."
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Also, let the Beatles know I won't be rejoining.
Are you a member of the Beatles in this story?
No, it's a little joke.
It's a little pre-death joke.
I say that to really emphasize that it's a stolen death.
Yeah. That's okay, good. Okay. Maybe that could be the name of the book, Stolen Deaths.
What if the narration starts with that as, the three boys or whatever, they wake up, et cetera, little do they know that this will start the chain of events where one of them will die.
Oh, I'll take one for the team.
That was easy. That was a fucking little,
no, that's annoying because then you take one for the team, but then one of us dies. Like,
that's true.
Because then that wouldn't even be the end of the book.
Yeah.
It would be the start of the book.
Yeah.
Jackson accepts death, then I die, and then everyone's going
to
come to terms with
that. And
then
we now have to like accept the death of a friend as opposed to a death of a loathed man.
A man that would kiss a dog.
It is crazy to imagine a book where one of the protagonists kisses a bunch of dogs and dies like Princess Diana.
What was the author trying to say?
What was the meaning of that? But what
was it a comment on the royal family?
What would you say the themes of
I don't know. I do what the muses tell me.
Yeah, you
I'm
know,
like a,
characters just come to you and they just do what they want.
On the surface level, I think it is like an anti-royalist book, but it truly is hard to say.
It's truly inscrutable as a novel, I gotta say. Yeah. Maybe we just all shoot each other in like a Mexican standoff. Just all that.
Where did you get a gun? Why are you shooting me? It's just a voice that says, you've gone from like go to woe so quickly.
I don't do anything by half measures.
Okay,
what if we all just
get in a car, drive off a cliff. We know one of us has to die. So it's just, we'll figure it out.
Actually, I mean, if she's like, one of them would die, that means we have a 1 in 3 chance of surviving anything that happens to us.
So all three of us have to do things that would 100% kill a person.
Yeah.
I know that two of us will walk away. We're playing Russian roulette.
We could drop a nuclear bomb on the on plumbing the Death Star, and two of us would walk away unscathed.
Well, it would be one of us may have been instantly killed. The other two, it's an excruciatingly terrible thing that happens over a course of maybe a month.
We find out that she's written that one of us is going to die. We're like, we're safe. Yeah. And then Queen Latifah walks in and is like, that's a terrible ending. They should all die.
We hear that as the nuke is traveling toward us. Oh, we should probably accounted for that.
Huh? Yeah, probably should account for rewrites.
Who did we get to drop the nuke on us?
Yeah. Would we be a comedy or a tragedy? Surely
it's
comedy,
pretty funny.
It would be, I reckon, an anti-comedy.
Yeah.
Because it would be ridiculous, and I'm not laughing, but it's funny.
Yeah. I think people might describe it as experimental fiction. Because it's not really about anything.
It would be a book that gives you the same feeling as when you hear a long version of the Aristocrats joke.
Yeah. It's sort of grotesque and loathsome. Yeah. But
it does end.
Yeah.
It would be kind of fucked up to, like, as the person narrating, you realizing that you are in, like, say, a novel, that there is arc. So there is that room for growth, and there's this kind of like, oh, this is my problem.
Yeah.
Oh. And maybe like those sort of like those insecurities or those things that there that you like have been just pushing down and like not addressing.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess I'm addressing them now.
Yeah. Well,
this sucks.
Unless you fight it.
Unless you fight it.
But yes, no, hearing all of those things that you're thinking inside said aloud by Emma Thompson.
And plus now you're also then getting like what other people maybe be feeling for you. It's like, you know, you go to your one of your good colleagues, he thinks to himself, man, this sloppy motherfucker yet again.
I can't believe you slopped out of bed and slopped all the way to work.
Slopped right into this studio to slop up the place.
slop.
These lips move, but all that everybody could hear was slop.
I've seen liquid shits that are less sloppy than this sloppy motherfucker. I respect diarrhea more too. At least it's doing something.
Yeah.
This is a disgusting book.
Well, okay, so now let's say we've gone through the whole scenario where we've tried to fight it, we can't. No matter what we do, it always ends up leading back to a
kissed
big...
kissed every dog in the city.
Kissed every dog, it's meaningless, nothing happened. It's still like, you're like, well, you mean you didn't put that in the book?
Yeah,
what
why
do you
not?
Mean? Why not?
I put in so much
effort.
That's
the most interesting thing I did today.
What are you talking about? It's like
the Jackson chapters just got shorter and shorter.
You became more of like a protagonist and more of just like a side character.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Actually, we've stopped giving you a name in the book. Right. It's just Dog Lover.
We've actually called you Corky. We've changed your name to Corky in the book.
So that all happens. And then like Emma Thompson is like, oh, this is what's going to happen. And she gives us a book and it's like, okay. And so we end up dying in a way similar to Will Ferrell.
Yeah, we get hit by a bus saving a kid.
Maybe not exactly the same way, but it's something that kind of like...
Hit by a bus saving a dog that Jackson loves.
No, that was my favorite.
That dog was the best kisser of the whole town.
So you will be saving the dog.
So now
Will Ferrell has the choice of accepting it, this going into life, realizing that this is going to be his last day, accepting that this is going to be where his life ends, and that his life will have a purpose here, where his life, like, he's touched some people, like, you know, their lives, etc. He's been like, I've found
the
love of my life, etc. We've got all this kind of thing going on. I'm going to do something really nice for her, and then also I'm going to, like, you know, save this child's life.
Yeah.
That's how he goes into it. Would we be going into that with that kind of air of grace, poise, quiet acceptance? Or are we kind of screaming and yelling all the way down?
It would be pretty funny to die in a situation like that where rather than leaving, everyone being like, wow, they really were touching our lives, just to leave like a... Not like an evil presence, but like a loathsome one. They're like, yeah, we had nothing but like kind of shit memories of them.
Yeah, you know when you like, say, when you you watch a film, and no matter how maybe good it might have been, if the last act or last 10 minutes is real bad, you make, oh, that film was garbage. So is that a situation where it's like, no matter what your life was, the last 10 minutes, we're like, fuck you.
Pull my pants down as I save the dog. Final indignity.
put upon myself.
It's like, we were saving a kid. He pushed the kid into the bus to save that dog.
His pants fell down.
His pants
fell
gets down. Up. No, wait. He pulled his pants down.
His ass looked unwashed.
I don't think he'd been wiping the whole time.
No, because, like, I don't know, like, people sometimes have this where they're like, someone I know died, but I didn't like them in life. So they have, like, very weird, complicated feelings within them where they're like, oh, should I have... We would give that to a lot of people, like, oh.
He was a piece of shit, but he, well, those guys saved those kids, whereas he saved that good kissing dog, he yelled.
The dog doesn't even know he's dead.
It's funny to imagine.
The dog has just licked your dead corpse.
Just licking my mouth.
Licking the face.
Looks like the dog's licking something out of, oh, yeah, peanut butter in his mouth. Dog's licking it out of there. Okay. I like to imagine
paramedics shooing this dog away. You gotta give him mouth to...
No, I'll just leave him around.
I think it's all...
It's covered in dog spit and peanut butter. What the fuck is going on here?
I like to think, Dusha, it's you getting hit by the bus and then it's like a quick cut to a funeral and there's like a portrait of you next to the coffin and it just says, Dusha, a sloppy man.
Just sloppy man. In
memory of.
A sloppy man. Don't the coffin looks
sloppy
wet.
Man. You lived a sloppy life and died a sloppy death.
For some reason, the pallbearers, when they're moving your coffin to the grave, it like sloshes around.
It's a bit slippy.
What the fuck?
I don't know what they did.
Yeah. She met us. She met us and still did this. No, we didn't look like that.
This last scene dignity. Sure, we maybe at least two of us died heroes, but man,
this is so rude.
It's character assassination.
She was rude from the beginning to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of the perfect book.
She was rude to you. You were rude to yourself, Jack.
You tried to accept it with grace.
Obsessed with grace, well, but came just kicking and screaming dragon by the two of you.
Yeah.
I guess what we've learned today is you can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, just really hope it doesn't happen to you, I guess.
Yeah, so hope you don't get Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah. You have Emma Thompson just kind of narrating your life. Hope it's a comic.
Hope
best
it's funny.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Go see a clown or something. Oh, no, clown's a
don't
tragedy.
See a clown.
Don't never see a clown. Don't see like the opposite of a clown, like a banker.
Yeah. Go to the bank.
Go to the bank.
And if pray someone slips over.
And pray there's not a clown at the bank. If I saw a clown at the bank,
I would be like, oh, today's
I'd
the day
start
I die.
Crying.
That's it. A clown at the bank is a tragedy.
A clown at the bank, I'm like, reality has slipped away from me.
This is a sad clown. Is a sad clown story that you've become like entwined in, or you're part of a bank robbery and getting shot in the head.
Because if a clown, like, why would they not dress in normal clothes to go to the bank, you know?
Yeah.
Why would you keep your clown clothes on?
Something bad.
Something's really off.
If you see a clown at the bank, just start to weep.
What's worse, seeing a clown at a bank or seeing a clown, again, all in full costume and makeup, or seeing a clown, like, say, at a grocery store buying apples?
Well, if it's a grocery store, I'm like, maybe the circus isn't dead.
Yeah, I would assume that it's like a last minute fuck up by the, like, is in there like, oh,
need
shit.
Apples for their, like,
for a horse to teach the horse to kick the clown in the nuts or whatever.
But if it's at the bank, I'm like, you would not. You don't desperately, so desperately.
Yeah,
because
banks
to the bank.
Also aren't open at the same time that a circus is open. Yeah.
Waiting room at a GP's office.
No, clowns can have many clown related injuries.
I would just assume
there's
broken
a balloon
bone.
Inside that clown.
No, but that's like emergency at a GP's office. We've got to make
an appointment. It's fine.
I'm like, he couldn't get to the hospital in time.
Before it's like place?
Like I've broken bones and gone to a GP before.
Okay. Yeah.
Same. What about a clown at a lawyer office?
Oh, that's. Bank is worse. But lawyer's office is not good.
Lawyers, but clown at
construction site.
Oh, weird, but building? Somehow not as bad as the bank.
What are they doing at the construction site?
Like it's a suburban house being built.
And they're just helping, or are they surveying?
Maybe they're like holding a big thing of balloons in like the half-built garage. It's kind of giving a look, and there's this construction happening around.
I'm assuming it's their house, and they're doing clown practice.
Okay.
At a public pool.
Maybe they've been hired by the pool.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Fair. Could be children's clown.
Clown at the bank is the only one where reality slips away from me like the sea.
Everything else, I'm like, plausible. Look, clown at a construction, like, I'm like, that's a bit strange and off. But yeah, clown at a bank.
Clown at a bank is
if
wrong.
If you see a clown at the bank,
run.
Yeah,
or run. Or cry.
Or cry.
Cry because there's no chance to run.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Run
what's
and about hope the doors open. Yeah. They might not.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joe.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been scared.
Yeah. Look, don't get Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah, we've done it so far.